This is Market to Market producer Colleen Bradford Krantz. Stand by for the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
Welcome to the Friday, May 14, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Another volatile week of dramatic price swings on weather and USDA reports, which may have sent the longs to the exits with dramatic sell-offs in 3 of 5 days this week. For the week, July wheat fell 55 cents, while the nearby corn contract plummeted 89 cents, or 12%. Beans remain in the teens, but predictions of near trendline yields and rain in the U.S. dropped the July contract by 4 cents. July meal lost 23.30. July cotton shrank by 7.23 per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, June Class 3 milk gained 44 cents. A mixed week in the livestock sector. June cattle dropped 73 cents. August feeders improved 6.87. And the June lean hog contract shed 4.12. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index increased 8 ticks. June crude oil added 53 cents per barrel. COMEX gold gained 9.90 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index dropped almost 10 points to finish at 513.50. Now, here to provide insight is regular market analyst Ted Seifert. Hello, Ted.
Hello, Paul.
USDA report this week.
Yeah.
Was there a winner? Was there a loser in that one?
Obviously, corn was the big loser.
Yeah.
Right? New crop corn, in particular, the big loser. We'll start with the corn conversation. The trade, for the most part, was looking for a 1.3 billion bushel carryover. I think we had been factoring in something maybe even slightly smaller than that. The USDA gave us a little over 1.5 billion bushel carryover, and that's not especially tight. And it's kind of hard to justify $6.40 corn at a 1.5 billion bushel carryover. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that say, okay, the USDA is lowering exports 325 million bushels from last year to the new crop. And since the USDA did these numbers, we've seen China purchase a little over 5 million metric tons. Now, if you give the USDA a chance to do their export number again, would they raise it? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with that. But then you have to say, all right, when we looked at planting intentions, you know, we were talking just under 92 million acres of corn. I think the trade, for the most part, really thinks it's going to be a lot closer to 94.
Right, 2 to 3 million.
Yeah. In fact, we saw, you know, a private estimate on Friday with 96 million plus. So there's going to be more corn acres, very likely. The weather has been good for that. If you look at what prices of corn have done since December 1st, December corn versus November beans since December 1st has had an unprecedented rally against that November bean contract. So if we're getting anything in acres, which everybody seems to think there's more acres out there, it's going to be a lot of corn. So even if I bump the exports, the increase in production on those acres probably offset that and then some. So we could easily start talking about a 1.6, 1.7, 1.8 billion bushel carryover in corn. And then, oh boy, we have a problem. Now, there'll be others that say, well, a 179.5 national average yield is 3 bushels over the record that we currently have. And with the dry conditions that we have out west, it looks rather unlikely at this point that we're going to hit that 179.5. But it's really early to say that. And yes, you have an improving weather forecast, which was a big part of why we saw weakness early in the week and then again at the end of the week.
But that weather forecast changes. It was early wet for next week. Now it's kind of dried up a little bit, and that's what we'll have to deal with. So I'm going to stick with corn, and I'm going to ask a question a little bit about the rally. And this one comes from Drew in Bayport, Michigan. He's asking, is the big corn rally done for now until pollination weather comes into play, or is there still enough strong bullish factors to get us back to the 630, 640 range?
Well, so done for now. I like how we're saying that. Because, I think so. I think this last USDA report and a 1.5 billion bushel carryover is sort of a game changer. And now the idea that, okay, we're going to have more acres. That doesn't mean that we can't have a weather market and get us back to those highs, towards those highs, and possibly even make new highs depending on what weather does during the growing season. But it's really the soybeans that I am interested in. And I feel like this is a broken record because I feel like we were here the same time last year and I was saying the same thing. But the potential for tightness in the soybean balance sheet for new crop is tremendous. And I really feel like there's a lot of upside potential there.
Yeah, and that was the discussion after the report this week was every bean bushel is accounted for. Every corn one is whatever happens. So do you see it that way, too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been doing this for the last 4 months on panels and individually where I've said we were never really in a position where we had to price ration demand for corn in a very big way, like we did have to do for soybeans.
Right.
We were never completely running out of corn. We had tightness in a cash market because end users were worried about what was going to happen towards the tail end of this year if our exports had kept up, and we had a very strong basis. So there were reasons to rally corn, but we were never really in danger of completely running out of corn unless China had kept buying old crop supplies. But at this point, we kind of see them more canceling than anything else. So again, the soybeans have a much different story. It's not the same for corn.
All right, I want to one last bow on corn. 14-15% on December corn. The question you just said, you like the for now, but is this an elevator shaft that goes down a long ways, and what stops us? What can we grab a hold of if we're heading down?
You know, we still have to grow this crop,
yeah,
right? And so there are weather concerns, even though, you know, we just talked about, I think it's early for that, and improving, you know, longer-term forecast kind of eases some of those concerns. But we're going to be on edge because we really can't stand to have a significant yield loss, even with, you know, if you want to call it 2 million acres additional. So we are going to be on our toes for weather. You just saw China bought 5 million metric tons. If that trend continues and we have to start raising that export number pretty aggressively, then we have a ball game. So there are definitely two sides to this coin right now, and you're going to continue to see very volatile markets. I think just the way it acted on Friday, it seems like there's might be a little bit more downside in corn left here.
Okay.
We'll see how far that goes. But yeah, no, we should see a nice bounce here at some point, too.
Soybeans, volatility there, but we finish almost even. We consider 4 cents even for the week.
Yeah.
So the soybean, you've laid out the scenario of it being extremely tight.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect more volatility.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Well, I think up until about a week ago, or maybe 10 days ago, we had really kind of forgotten about the tightness in the soybean market and what the potential could be for next year, too. We were very focused on South American weather, Brazil's safrinha corn crop in particular. We were very focused on tightness in the cash market for corn. And we were really excited about the corn market. And soybeans kind of got forgotten about a little bit. But in the last 10 days, when we started putting together our numbers for this new crop balance sheet, and analysts like myself started releasing them into the wild, and people were saying, oh, at a trend line yield, we're projected to have 130 or 140 million bushel carryover for next year. There is a razor-thin margin for how much we can lose, which is really nothing. We can't lose any of our soybean production. So our weather market, unless there is a major demand destruction event, we stop doing business with China. China invades Taiwan, and we say, okay, China, no more, right? Something like that. ASF travels throughout the world. There's a couple of things that could happen from a demand destruction perspective. But if those don't happen, we have to have a trend line yield because I'm not seeing a huge increase in soybean acres. And if we have anything less than trend line yield, we have a negative balance sheet. And this is all, I mean, keep in mind, the USDA's balance sheet at a 140 million bushel carryover for new crop, that's including a 205 million bushel reduction in demand for next year. If that reduction is not accurate and we have similar demand or improving demand from one year to the next, we already have a negative balance sheet.
Yeah.
So the soybean story could be potentially very, very interesting.
Which wheat is following which one? Corn, soybeans, or is it setting its own path?
Traditionally, it has to follow corn more, and that's really what it's been doing. I think towards the end of this week, you had wheat really wanting to wait and see what happens on the wheat tour next week. I mean, we are very curious to see
if there was winter demand, right, or winter kill, yes.
Damages and what the recent rains have done to improve. And it's the first real kind of idea we're going to start getting about yield, because up until now, we've just been sort of guessing at what all these conflicting factors for the wheat growing season have accounted for or come up with. So, yeah, but wheat will continue to follow corn more than anything.
All right. Livestock market, live cattle, there's a discussion about maybe there's not enough labor to process the animals. Packer making a lot of money. People asking, why aren't we talking about this? Are you talking about,
let's talk about
Packer
this.
Margin?
I've been talking about this.
What are you saying about it?
It's frustrating, right? The cattle market right now is frustrating because I don't think it's accurately reflecting fundamentals. Again, domestic demand is really very strong. We didn't have a great export sales number this week, but for the most part, again, domestic demand is very strong. Consumers are willing to pay higher prices. We talked about inflation. Inflation's running rampant. And people are willing to pay $10,000 to $15,000 more for a car than over MSRP. Sure, they're going to pay $2 or $3 more for a steak. Packers' margins are really fantastic. They complain that because of the stimulus and everything like that, we can't get guys to come in for work. But when your margins are that good, you can afford to pay these guys more money to get them to come in. But if they did that, that would cook their golden goose. That would really hurt the massive profit margins that they have right now. So they're perfectly happy blaming COVID, blaming stimulus, blaming workers for not fixing the problem, increasing production, paying up on cash, and pushing both the cash and the futures higher. It's really frustrating because, again, there are times where I feel like the cattle market is disassociated from reality. And I feel like this time right now is maybe stronger than one I've seen in the past. And again, we're using, you know, this the global pandemic and, yeah, and things like that as an excuse when really it's packers that are having fun with the market. They're trying to get their way and they're succeeding.
The feeder market went up a bunch this week. Yeah. Is that all on lower input cost, or is there somebody seeing optimism that they think something's going to cycle out and they're going to time this right?
Well, I think both. I think there is optimism in the feeder cattle market. But to your point, yes. I mean, corn was down 86 cents or so this week. That helps things a lot. I will say, though, it was a little disappointing on Friday that we didn't see feeders a little bit stronger.
Right.
But we had already bounced a fair amount off the lows. Technicals are kind of negative here for the moment. But yeah, live cattle struggled at the end of the week. The cattle complex has been frustrating because, again, I think we are a little disassociated from reality there.
We had a gap in the hog market.
Yeah.
Is that top in?
I have concerns about that. I'm not going to say that yet. I'm still optimistic that we have more upside potential. Again, domestic demand is really good. The whole inflationary idea, I think, is still in play. It doesn't seem to be as many animals out there as we get into the late spring and into early summer months. So I like that August contract a lot. But I am on high alert from a technical perspective. I don't like what I'm seeing in hogs right now.
Is there technically any of the three livestock markets that you do like?
If I have to choose one, it's the hogs. From a technical, from a chart perspective, if we can hold here, it's been a very nice rally. It's just like the grains. You know, we've had a correction. Everybody wants to kind of panic on that. But the fact of the matter is, if we hold support and turn around, then that chart looks really good again. From a fundamental perspective, I think the fundamentals are there for cattle to go quite a bit higher. But we've been frustrated that it hasn't been able to do that for quite some time now.
But when you get frustrated, I can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guess what? I got the whiteboard. Ready to have fun in Market Plus?
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, Ted Seifert. Appreciate
the
time. That will do it for this installment of the TV show Market to Market. We will talk more in Market Plus. We just talked about we're bringing the whiteboard out, so we'll have fun with Ted there and answer your questions. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. School may be winding down for the year, but the learning never stops in our classroom project. We have modules from business, history, to the study of commodities. Click on the classroom tab the next time that you visit markettomarket.org. Next week, we look at a year of struggles for one hog producer. Thank you so very much for watching, and have a great week.